Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt. Walks along now. Live and hard-hitting, always ready to go. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. This is the broadcast from May 12th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to promote God, family, and country, to protect life, liberty, and property, to do so using the supreme law of the land. Yeah, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And Larry Pratt, formerly of Gun Owners of America, now he's retired, but not all the way. He's doing what he wants, coming on the radio and talking about liberty is one of them. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you, Sam. You can betcha I am keeping an eye on liberty. It affects me as it does all Americans very personally.
Amen to that, sir. And have I got a good news story for you today. Here's the headline. Court overrules California's ban on semi-automatic weapons and the sale thereof to adults under the age of 21 years old. And an appeals court panel ruled that California's ban on the sale of semi-automatic weapons to adults under the age of 21 violated the right to keep and bear arms found in the Second Amendment of the Constitution for the United States of America. Turns out that Judge Ryan Nelson wrote the ruling, and he simply says, hey, you know what? Back in the day, we had a lot of young adults that used their constitutionally God-given right of self-defense codified in the Second Amendment. They used those weapons to make us free. We can't take it away from them now, he wrote. Larry, there is justice once in a while, sir. Uh-oh, you with me, Larry? Uh-oh, we'll grab Larry, get him back, ladies and gentlemen. Meanwhile, I find this a huge win. I really do. Court overrules California's ban on sales of semi-automatic guns to adults under the age of 21. Look, if you're old enough to die for your country, is the reasoning here at 18, ladies and gentlemen, go into the service, die for your country, and use a weapon or in the service of your country, you're certainly old enough to buy a gun. They claim that, oh, man, we're going to have common sense gun laws. Less people are going to die if we don't sell guns. But look, it's codified in the Constitution. The rule of law says, hey, they have every right that everybody else has, and their right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. There's justice once in a while, Larry.
Once in a while. It certainly makes sense that if somebody is old enough, even at the age of 17 or 18, to pick up arms, to put his life on the line to defend our liberties, then it seems to me if he's got the kind of judgment that would know when to shoot, when not to shoot, where to go, where not to go, he probably can figure out who to vote for and who not to vote for. That may be what's troubling some of the liberals, because they don't think any of us, no matter what our age, really have the judgment needed to make those kinds of decisions. And that's why I think they're always kind of eager to sneak up on us or take us front on and remove our liberties. They have a very low view of their fellow Americans. And were it not for their elite capabilities, who knows what kind of a mess we would be in, they think.
Now, what do you think, though? The court literally rejecting, the appellate court rejecting California's ban on people under 21 buying, these semi-automatic weapons and stuff. The court simply said they have every right. That's a huge win.
It came as a pleasant surprise to me, and I am encouraged that a court in California would do something like that. Now, it is a federal court, but we got to remember that federal courts are populated by judges that have been nominated by the senators of the state. Now, it may have been a senator from Nevada, because that court covers an area beyond California, I believe. But still, it's a very encouraging development that there are some judges that think that, well, maybe we can risk a little bit of freedom.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I think it's a big win. I think once in a while we've got to celebrate our successes. And I really want to point out that, you know what, when nobody stands up, when nobody takes on the fight, when nobody gets involved, that's when all these bad things happen. When good people say, whoa, wait a minute, stop now. You know what, we don't always win, but we win way more of the time than you would think, Larry. Believe it or not,
when we
take on these
saying,
battles, we gain ground. We really do.
Exactly. And there's one guarantee that can be made. If we don't fight, we will lose because we're not going to be given anything. So we have to do what they've done in California. We have to take the initiative. We have to see them in court. And, wow, sometimes we're going to win.
I always like to say it like this. If you don't ask the pretty girl out on a date, she'll never be your girl.
Well, there you go. That principle seems to extend throughout life. If you don't try, you'll never succeed.
Anyway, so I think it's tremendous news. Now, I do highlight the silver lining a little bit, because even though that was a win, and we got to celebrate it as a win, we got to push for more wins. Look, Joe Biden and crew behind the scenes via regulation and through the international, I don't know what you want to call it, weapons ban or whatever else, they're really trying to take our guns from us, though. That, look, just because the Republicans aren't talking about it right now, folks, that doesn't mean that they're not at work behind the scenes. This is a serious concern and threat still, Larry.
That is very well said. There are so many foreign nations that think gun control is great. They've imposed it on their people. They think it makes it easier, and they're right, to control their population. And they're the ones in control of the UN, in control of the European Union, in control of so many of these international bodies. There are many times when the United States pretty much stands alone. And so we've got to keep up the pressure politically on our elected officials. Otherwise, if they don't hear from us, they're just going to do whatever they're being pushed to do by some of these anti-freedom forces in our country and in these foreign organizations.
Biden's new gun control plan, they say, simply brings us to square one. Yeah. In other words, he's just regurgitating from his news conference in April 21. Same old stuff, same old, same old, same old. But you know what? They're working on it. On one hand, we can believe that, hey, they're not making much progress. But you know what? Biden admin announces new gun control measures. Are we going to end up thinking that the debate's on stall, but yet we lose a lot of rights and don't realize it till it's too late, Larry?
I think our best course of action is to keep pushing, pushing for better regulations, no regulations ultimately, to keep pushing for laws that do away with unconstitutional infringements that have been placed on the Second Amendment. And you know, you're right. Just because we've had a nice reprieve, which I think is maybe one way to describe what we're talking about, we've got to keep pushing. We're not finished as long as the Second Amendment is being infringed. That means that they feel perfectly at liberty to disregard the rest of the Constitution, because that's kind of the backbone on which all the other freedoms are hung. And if we let that go, then we're going to be as bad off or as worse off, even worse off than some other countries. So this is a welcome victory, but it's hardly a time to celebrate as if the war is over.
All right. Now, you probably don't know who this guy is. His name is Eric Pratt.
Yeah,
it's Larry's son, ladies and gentlemen. And Larry, go ahead.
He's a good spokesman. When he was in college. He wrote a master's thesis at Regent University on the importance of the colonial militia in 18th century America. And that really got to the heart of what we're talking about. Namely, it was an armed people that told the British tyrant, you're not going to do that. You've gotten into the habit of thinking that we're subjects. And guess what, buddy? We're not subjects. We're citizens, and we are free people. And if you try to go against that, it's going to be literally a bloody mess. And after a long war that in parts of the South wasn't over for close to two decades, we finally prevailed. But it was costly, and hopefully we're never going to forget that our freedoms that we just take so for granted, like the air we breathe, they were purchased at great price. There were many widows as the result of the battle for our liberties. There were many men without limbs that paid for our liberties. And we should not disregard that great cost that was paid so that we can live the way we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, headline says, Biden's Ministry of Truth to silence gun owners. Headline from Eric Pratt says, GOA punches back against Biden's Ministry of Truth. Details.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, Larry Pratt with me, Gun Owners of America. He's now retired, but Eric Pratt wrote an incredible article, GOA.org, basically talking about Biden's Ministry of Truth saying, hey, it'll silence gun owners. And he highlights that really the Ministry of Truth will be a disinformation agency within the government. So GOA filed a FOIA request asking Homeland Security and others, look, who's going to be on the board? What's going to go on with this thing? How's it going to work? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And good on them, because look, ladies and gentlemen, the reality is the Ministry of Truth will operate under the moniker of disinformation. And at first you think, well, how does that relate to gun rights, Sam? My response, ladies and gentlemen, is this. First, they will promote disinformation. They'll call a GOA, they'll call me, they'll call you, they'll call us all terrorists and domestic threats. And of course, you can't have a gun if you're a domestic threat, see? So it all starts with spinning the narrative to a dishonest narrative. And once they have that ability, there'll be no stopping them, Larry Pratt.
That's right. And what they're doing is saying that it's okay to abridge, is the constitutional term, I would say, infringe on the First Amendment. And if we can mess around with the First Amendment and tell you what you can and cannot say, well, certainly guns are even more dangerous, and we can regulate how guns are owned, carried, who can have them, and so forth. And I think that's the very dangerous direction that we're heading. Biden thinks, and his administration thinks, as I'm not sure that Biden thinks, but that administration thinks that freedom is a very dangerous thing. It's got to be controlled, or who knows what'll happen. And that's where we're heading. That's the ball game. It is about what is America going to be like by the time Joseph Robinette Biden leaves office.
It all depends on what we the people do. It all depends on what our sheriffs do. It all depends on what we do locally in the states. It all depends on if we take action and arrest a lot of these criminals for their belligerent, unconstitutional, unauthorized violation of checks and balances actions. Larry?
I like that you've included the sheriffs in this idea that this battle has to involve not just individuals, but the sheriff is somebody that's taken an oath under God to uphold the Constitution, which of course includes the First and Second Amendments. And if the sheriffs are determined to keep that oath and to protect those liberties, then I think we're going to be a lot better off. We're going to keep the Biden administration from getting totally out of control. And a lot of this can come right before the sheriffs. If they understand their role, and there are a number of them that do, then it's going to be a lot more difficult for the Biden administration to treat the American people as subjects. We got rid of King George, and I sure hope we don't have to deal with King Joe.
Now, I look at this sheriff discussion, and the reason that I mention it is, number one, that's one of the great American hopes we have, is that we can coordinate with the sheriff to create accountability. The sheriffs have the ability to take on the feds and to take on the states. They have that ability if they understand their real mission. They understand their core authority. They understand the proper role of checks and balances. However, in Eric's article, he talks about a sheriff who literally is preventing people from owning and keeping firearms, even though it's against the law. This is an example where when sheriffs want to violate the law for, in my opinion, wrongful purposes, they feel free to do so, a.k.a., you know, illegal sanctuaries or whatever you want to call it, sanctuary cities, whatever. Da, da, da. They feel at liberty. When you don't want to have guns, the sheriff just does whatever the heck he wants to. They don't have any problem violating laws when it's wrong. But for some reason, sheriffs don't believe that they can simply reject laws that are wrong. So we need a sheriff to defend our right to keep and bear arms, not stand to take them away. So sometimes the liberals seem to apply the principles in the opposite or wrong effect. And this article that Eric wrote relates to this very well. The gun owners of America is really trying to hold this sheriff to account, right? And wisely so.
Well, and happily, the sheriff can be held to account. The sheriff in almost all jurisdictions, not quite all, I think Connecticut lost their ability to elect their sheriffs, but pretty much across the country, the sheriff is elected by we the people. He's got to explain, and certainly if he's challenged, he has to explain why he has done various things, what it is that he intends to do in the future, as he has to confront, or we think he has to confront, various excesses and abuses that are coming from the federal government. And the sheriff is the man. He's got legitimate authority. He can organize a posse. He can physically confront abuses of power by the state and federal governments. And he is critical a person, office, in the defense of the liberty of American citizens. So we really have to spend the time it takes to find out where the sheriff is philosophically, what it is that he understands his responsibilities to be, and what is it that he's willing to do to defend the freedoms of the people that are voting for him. And if we've got somebody that's on the right wavelength, we're going to be a whole lot better off, because so far the federal government and the state governments, even on occasion, have been reluctant to mess with a sheriff. Now, they can go after their budgets, and then it's going to, when that happens, it's going to be up to we the people to decide how we're going to deal with that. I would even be willing to discuss having a voluntary assessment to enable the sheriff's departments to continue to be fully funded if the financial ammunition is being fired at them, so that they may not have the means they need to hire enough deputies, get them trained, buy the right firearms and other weapons. Those are all things that ultimately come back to we the people. What are we willing to do? Sure, we have to be informed. We have to vote. And it may be, and I've thought about this from time to time, we may need to volunteer our financial and personal support for the sheriffs.
Right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All I'm telling you is we have got to back our sheriffs. We have got to stand. And yes, their budgets will be attacked. But what sheriffs need to do is they need to be willing to live on less. They need to be willing to streamline their operations. They need to be willing to enact and advocate for sheriff's posses, where people could do a lot of things in a volunteer capacity or as a part-time capacity, saving all kinds of taxpayer money. It can be done, ladies and gentlemen. Real scrappy sheriffs can do it, but it's going to be an epic battle, because look, the liberals will not let go of power that we have over the last many decades ignorantly allowed them to I don't know what you want to say, but gain or whatever. They've taken this power one sliver at a time. We've ignorantly in a blissful America watched sports and let it happen. And now we're paying the piper, and it's going to be very hard fought to get it back. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you an example to make this point, Larry. There is a new article out that says this. Top Democratic leaders with oversight over the National Institutes of Health, NIH, are keeping quiet now about the $350 million in secret payments. You heard me. $350 million in secret payments to agency leaders like Dr. Anthony Fauci and other top scientists, hundreds of them. They all got this big $350 million secret slush fund, and now it's being exposed. Democrats are silent. Republicans are going after it. But I don't think they're getting anything done, because they don't get anything done. They just talk and babble and argue and launch investigations that 3 years later they say, well, yeah, there was a bad act there or here, but don't worry. We've cleaned it up and there's no really accountability, but don't worry. We won't let it happen again because we got it all fixed, and you're good is all you really hear. But this is what we're talking about. When you have $350 million in payments to top scientists like Anthony Fauci and hundreds of scientists secretly, they got to ask this question. This gun control sheriff and other sheriffs that are arming themselves with military hardware, how much are they on the dole? And what secret money's going to them and others? When we get back, we'll ask Larry Pratt that very fundamental question on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. A Senate vote is possible Thursday on emergency aid for Ukraine. The House approved a $40 billion package on Tuesday. However, dozens of lawmakers voted against the measure. One was Texas Republican Congressman Chip Roy, who explains why.
We got it at 3 p.m. yesterday. We were then voting on the rule by the evening. We're voting on the bill by 8 o'clock. Keep in mind that that $53 billion total, that's the entire annual budget of the Department of Homeland Security.
About $13 billion in aid has already been allocated for Ukraine. It's time to start circling dates on the fall calendar. The 2022 NFL schedule set to be released at 8 p.m. Eastern Time tonight. All 32 teams from around the league will find out when and where they will be playing this upcoming season. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5500 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5500. Enjoy!
A panel on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals struck down a California law banning the sale of semi-automatic guns to adults under 21, saying it infringed on the rights of people ages 18 to 20. The judge saying in part, America would not exist without the heroism of young adults who fought and died in our Revolutionary Army. Today, we reaffirm our Constitution still protects the rights that enabled their sacrifice. The right of young adults to keep and bear arms. Flags are being lowered today to honor 1 million lives lost to coronavirus. President Biden marked the long-dreaded milestone early this morning, pleading with everyone to remain vigilant. He also stressed that the nation has more testing, vaccines, and treatments than ever before. Same story, different day when it comes to the national average for the price of regular gasoline. According to AAA, a new record set today at $4.41 a gallon. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Larry Pratt on your radio, breaking it down just for you. So top Democratic leaders, literally with oversight of the National Institutes of Health, literally had secret payments going to Anthony Fauci and hundreds of top scientists, $350 million of secret money. Now, for them to take that secret money is a scientific snafu, meaning that, look, their conflict of interest is so belligerent. Look, I used to be a mortgage broker, Larry Pratt, and I couldn't even take somebody out to lunch because if I paid for their lunch, it could be considered me trying to steer business to me, and it was a bribe, and it was unethical, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now these guys are literally $350 million in payments, and you're not hearing anything about it. These people are criminals and should be arrested, sir, on the spot.
Well, it's definitely an abuse of power, and the fact that they think they can get away with it tells you that the media is rather complicit. The media, by and large, understands these things, and they've chosen that if it's a Democrat doing it, they're not going to bother with it. They're not going to say a word. They're not going to challenge it. And so the system goes merrily along. As long as you're a Democrat, you're not challenging the system, you're not a Joe Manchin who once in a while is on the right side, if you're just down the line supporting the party line, you're going to be doing just fine. But I'd like to suggest that there's a way that some of the governors have been toying with fighting back. I believe it was the governor of Texas that flew some illegal aliens into Washington, D.C. and dumped them off within a few blocks of the White House. Now, that may have been just symbolic, but I think it illustrates the fact that they don't want that problem in their backyard. It's okay if it messes up half of the state of Arizona and New Mexico and Texas, but don't bring it where they live. And that's exactly what needs to be done. They need to have to deal with this up close and personal, and they need to back off the restriction on firearms that they frequently try to impose on their citizens and their voters, because people are increasingly, as long as we're going through a time of a government-sponsored invasion of illegal aliens, people need to be able to defend themselves. And that, I think, is increasingly where the line is going to be drawn. And it's, I think it's beginning to clarify the way many Americans understand what our elected officials and unelected officials have been up to. And they're pushing back.
Just like abortion, you know, many Americans didn't really realize where they stood on abortion, or they were kind of like, hey, that's just the way it is. But now that science has come so far, in terms of imaging and in terms of education about really what happens, you know, how a baby's created and when life begins and all this kind of stuff, science has really caught up and now Americans are rejecting abortion. I think they're doing the same thing with gun control. A lot of Americans felt like, well, I don't really need a gun, and, well, it's okay, and don't worry about it. And they weren't really engaged in the fight, Larry. But now that they're realizing, look, Joe Biden, these people are criminal. There's riots in the streets all the time, Antifa and all these different groups and Black Lives Matter and whatever, to where Americans are going, hold on now, I do care. This is important, and it does matter, and I'm not going to allow gun control to happen. I believe that polarization is taking place as well, sir.
It made it very clear that the Democrats were perfectly happy, as you say, to let the Antifa forces mobilize and, like locusts, just destroy large sections of America's cities. But to have somebody else in the country buy a firearm and carry that firearm, No, we can't have that. That's too dangerous. No, it's not too dangerous. It actually leads to a more polite society. It really does keep things down to a rather more nonviolent condition. And what the Democrats have been doing, and some of the Republicans, it's not entirely stupidity and evil is not limited to the Democrats. But these policies that have been imposed on America are now having disastrous consequences. And it's increasingly clear to more and more Americans that something is fundamentally wrong. The current administration is, for whatever reason, hostile to the safety and freedom of the average American. And I think we're going to see a big pushback in the elections this November. The question is, will the Republicans have the determination to really affect needed and substantial changes? Or, as you were alluding to a minute ago, are they just going to talk about it?
Well, there you have it. And I believe that Republicans mean well. But again, we're infiltrated by some very liberal Republicans that seem to have a juggernaut on us right now. And Americans need to kind of understand that it matters not just that they're a Republican, but it's what kind of Republican you elect that is critical as well. And let me give you a headline here that relates to this. Democrats are increasingly looking to force their climate change agenda through the federal bureaucracy rather than go through Congress. Why? Due to lack of support for their environmental reforms. So the Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen, has now unveiled, quote, sweeping regulations affecting home appliances, building standards, fuel economy, and government-backed projects, including infrastructure, during its first 15 months. So you've got a situation where they're literally going for broke. There's been so many loose, vague laws, bad laws passed by Congress. Now they're literally being blatantly abused by the administration, Larry.
And there will be Republicans and most of the Democrats who will say, well, what can we do? This is a regulation that's been issued. This is the law that we have to obey. Well, the answer is fairly simple, really. You can get immediate results if you're determined to get them. And the most immediate results available at any level of government is to cut the funding from whatever the enforcing agency might be. If the FBI has become abusive and tyrannical, fine, cut their budget 50-75%. That'll get their attention. If some other environmental agency is harassing people and telling them that they can't engage in needed economic activity, cut their budgets the same way. Bureaucrats don't work for free. There are no volunteers that I've ever seen in Washington or in any state capital. They all get paid, and generally they get paid very well. Well, if the money train has come to a halt, then they're not going to have the same attitude. They're not going to be able to do what they've been doing to abuse Americans and take away their liberties. So I think that's the message that needs to be taken to each and every town hall meeting where every politician might be standing forth, is to say, what have you done to cut their budgets? How much money have you cut from or attempted to cut from their budget? And if you can't do that, please don't come back and expect me to vote for you.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what that requires, Larry? That requires intestinal fortitude. That requires people getting off their couches and taking a little bit of action. That requires we the people banding together using our greater numbers to force change. And I don't mean force change like government would force. I mean force change by our free will, acting as we choose in concert with free association with one another. And to do so in a way that advocates for our interests for a change.
I quite agree, because if we don't have the intestinal fortitude to do what you're just pointing to, then we certainly can't expect the politicians to do the same. We can't become outraged that they didn't do some of these needed things, because we haven't been doing what is needed to begin with. These folks work for us, and if they don't get a memo from us about what we want them to do, well, then it's rather more difficult to hold them accountable for something that wasn't clearly spelled out. We need to clearly spell it out. You do this, pal, or you're not going to be getting that paycheck anymore.
And if you do this, you might just get arrested, ladies and gentlemen. We need to start to push that reality check, too, because, hey, when we don't have any accountability, why do they care if they disobey our laws? Do we have a nation? If we don't have laws, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah, a message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You gotta throw down for Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. You gotta get involved in the sacred cause of liberty. Jesus Christ is the go-to and is the author of our liberty, ladies and gentlemen. You've gotta double down in defense. You gotta stand up. You gotta take action in the culture war, and you gotta do it now, ladies and gentlemen. These people are getting absolutely crazy tyrannical, and every inch they gain is liberty lost, and every liberty lost reality check we face, folks, it's gonna be tough to get it back. And I pray we can bring it back without blood. I pray we can do so peacefully. I'm the guy that rejects revolution and stands for peaceful restoration, but I'm telling you that it's becoming more and more difficult. Let me give you case in point. Larry Pratt, I don't know if you know about this, but the Democrats are pushing to have their climate agenda via regulation, not legislation. Very, very serious indeed. They'll change the affairs, environmentally speaking, via these agencies. They're literally giving $350 million to these top scientists. But then Joe Biden just signed something into law. I don't know if you're aware of this, but think about this, folks. Where were the Republicans to let you know about this? Headline says this, quote, Joe Biden recently signed into law a requirement that all vehicles produced after 2026 be fitted with a remote kill switch. That's right. Electric vehicles are already outfitted with this capability, believe it or not, via their, quote, internet-connected superchargers. But these corporations can literally sell you a product for tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then they can prevent you from using it. That ought to be a lawsuit in and of itself. But worse yet, if the law is not challenged or repealed, these kill switches, forced into place by your legislative body and Joe Biden, virtually in secret, because I don't know that anybody really realized it. Now the government will have a back door that allows government agencies to shut your vehicle off remotely as well. So now you've got a situation where it's now law, where these companies that sell you a car will be able to use a kill switch if they want to, and so will the government on your vehicle, your private property. It's already law, Larry. Did you know that?
Well, one of the arguments that we're going to be given is that, well, this is going to make it so that we can stop a bank robber who's fleeing from the police. I'm sure it could work just that way. But what if they decide that there are just too many of us on the road and that they're going to use that kill switch to make it so that we can't go to work, that we can't go to the store, that we can't take our vacation, that we can't use our car in the way in which we have decided to use it.
Or imagine they take away your guns and you're going to a rally to say, no, you're not going to the rally, Larry. No, sir.
Exactly. They would be able to control virtually every aspect of American life. This kill switch is a kill liberty switch. That's what that should be referred to as. This is an extremely dangerous and tyrannical notion. So hopefully what you're doing is going to be joined by many others who are on the airwaves to point out that this needs to be done away with. We need to kill the kill switch.
Amen. But ladies and gentlemen, did you realize this is already passed into law? Did you realize Joe already signed that? See, when the media wants big fanfare on a topic, you know everything about it, right? You know Monica Lewinsky's dress with Bill on it. You know, you knew everything about that. But when they put a kill switch in for your car, you don't know anything about it. You just end up driving a car. If you have an electric vehicle, you already got one. And if you buy a vehicle after 2026, unless something's done, you will have one. You may not even be aware of that, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I just thought that I'd bring that to your attention for an FYI, to the point that we better start to stand up. We better start to get involved in a serious way now, peacefully, or I'm afraid it won't be peaceful coming down the road. Because at some point, when they start to deny people to travel, when they start to literally take away your guns, when you start to have shortages of products and services, it ain't going to be a pretty America, ladies and gentlemen, overnight. Literally. If you don't believe me, go ask COVID. Overnight, your society could change, and you won't like what it turns into, ladies and gentlemen. All right, final story before the end of the hour. I want to bounce off of Larry Pratt. Hey, did you see 2,000 Mules?
I have the DVD. I am hoping to look at it actually tonight.
All right. Well, let me tell you, I've watched it. It is incredible. But here's the thing that you ought to know. Fox News and Newsmax have now banned all mention of 2,000 Mules. They don't want to talk about it. Now, Newsmax says, what are you talking about? We already talked about it. But in reality, the media has got a blackout on this literally smoking gun reality check, ladies and gentlemen. In the movie, they literally solve a murder using the same technology they're using to document vote fraud. Two avenues of evidence. Geo-tracking, which is what they want to use for COVID to track you and trace you and everything else, right? Geo-tracking, which is what they did in January 6th against all the Patriots, etc. The geo-tracking on one hand and video evidence from government cameras on the other hand are what they're using for the smoking gun to document these mules. And these mules are literally going to organizations, nonprofits, getting ballots, going to drop boxes in the middle of the night and dropping them off. And this is all documented and proven in 2,000 Mules, Larry Pratt. But it's one thing for the movie to be released. It's another thing for Fox and Newsmax to be blackballing this, and for the mainstream press to be ignoring this incredible Dinesh D'Souza blockbuster. I just watched it, and it's real, Larry.
Happily, a lot of people have access to it in spite of the blockade that's been put up. And evidently, something like $1 million came in the first 12 hours as revenue for that show, for that DVD, for that production. A lot of Americans are going to be seeing how the last election was stolen. It's not just sour grapes on the part of Donald Trump. This DVD lays it out. You can see how it was done, and it was done. This was not an American election. This was something that would, well, my wife is from Panama, and when she voted in Panama years and years ago, she was voting toward the end of the day. She put her ballot in a wooden box, and the polls closed. And when they closed, she saw the very box she put her ballot in carried out physically by some of the soldiers that were there during the election. Well, that was pretty obvious. And you could see that the election was being stolen. What they've done now is to have a technology which flips little electrons in voting machines, and you don't see what happens. All you can see is that
And the good part about this movie is a lot of people have been focusing on the digital side of the equation, and that's not to be dismissed, because no doubt millions of votes were changed with that reality as well. What I like about this 2,000 Mules, though, is it takes a completely different approach that says, hey, even if you won't discuss the machines, we still can prove vote fraud physically with government evidence, and we can also prove it with the fact that, you know what, this is happening. And you can't deny it when it's on video. You can't deny that these mules didn't use gloves. And then there was a fingerprint case that busted one of them. And then they started using gloves. It's documented all on film, ladies and gentlemen. And it's government cameras that took all the footage. We just basically FOIA requested it and got the evidence. Okay. Now, Cameron, can you pull up the commercial I created really fast for this? I'm going to play a commercial and get your response, Larry. here's a commercial that I created out of the sound bites of the film. And I created this commercial just to kind of help people really understand. Here it is, and then your response.
Never in U.S. history has a presidential election been as thoroughly corrupted by coordinated fraud across multiple states as we now know took place in 2020.
There's an easy way to bust it, but it's not the way you think. It's not to go find the ballots in the ballot mix. You can't do that. The way to find it is these guys have the cell phone identification of all the mules. All of them. So law enforcement has to step in at this point, and their next step.
What were you doing seven times?
Is to go and interview the mules. Who paid you?
Right.
Where'd you get the money?
Will any state's law enforcement do this?
This is a big question. The mules aren't going to fess up. They know they're participating in something that is.
Well, you got them on videotape. You got 2,000 people who are committing felonies.
Right. I'd like you to just reflect about what you've learned today and how you're feeling and thinking about it.
It's just sickening to me.
This is jaw-dropping.
What you showed is frightening.
Larry Pratt, you literally have Salem hosts who are against this going, there's nothing to this. And then they watch Dinesh's film and get a Q&A with Dinesh and Catherine, one of the leaders of True the Vote, and how they really collected this. And at the end, these Salem radio news hosts are shocked and saying, you know what, we've got to get law enforcement involved now. This is blowing up, sir. The question is, do we have the mojo to circumvent the mainstream press blackout?
Well, we may. Just the very fact that those hosts couldn't believe that something this evil could happen in America when they saw the evidence, which is so clearly presented in 2,000 Mules, they changed their mind. Hopefully that's going to be something happening across America with hundreds and thousands and millions of people so that something will have to be done to put a stop to this for even the election coming up in a few months.
Well, a lot of the vote fraud stuff, I've agreed that it's vote fraud, but we've been really having a hard time pinning the tail on the donkey. It's almost the perfect crime. As they mentioned, once these are injected into the system, there's no way to trace these ballots, and so it's almost the perfect crime. However, this evidence, literally all you've got to do now is subpoena the cell phone evidence, find out whose cell phone it is, go to the mule and say, look, we're going to prosecute you. You're going away forever, buddy. Who's your boss? Who paid you? Where did you go? How did this work? And the 2,000 mules in the samples of the movie is just a tip of the iceberg. Sheriffs in every county, all 3,000 counties, should be vetting this and doing the same thing, following their pattern and following up with real investigations. And that's the call now, Larry.
What you're laying out is standard procedure for police departments across the country. You get the bad guy that you catch at the lower level you explain to him what's going to happen to him unless he confesses and implicates the guy above him or the gal above him. And so you keep flipping people until you get to the Mr. and Mrs. Big or the big committee or whatever. And then you go after them and you put the hammer on them. And that's how we put a stop to this, is to make it so that this crime has real consequences and some of these people end up in jail.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to pray hard and work hard. It's that simple of a formula. Got to turn to God Almighty. Got to get on our knees and pray for God to intervene on our behalf. Then you got to get up and go to work. And between the two, we shall indeed have success as we the people. That's America. That's the American way, baby. Larry Pratt, thank you so much, brother. We'll have you back. Godspeed.
Good to be with you. You too.
And to all of you, my fellow Americans, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and indeed restore the greatest country on the face of the earth. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, BrightyOnRadio.com. Spread the word and share the love, would you please? And we declare, God save the Republic of the United States of America.